The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And joining us this week in the Kids Clinic is Isolt White, psychotherapist and author. And the reason we're talking about this next thing, Isolt, is we earlier on today on the show talked about Sunday dinner and the death of Sunday dinner. And it made us think, is there, because apparently people aren't buying roast beef or roast lamb or anything anymore, it's kind of dying a death. But it made us question, is there a wider impact to things like that? So if Sunday dinner is dying a death, and that's certainly for me was the one time around the kitchen table we might gather and as a family and talk and all that kind of stuff, are there wider impacts to losing those kinds of routines in our lives?
Yeah, I think there are, you know, and Sunday dinner was a nice way of maybe getting the wider family and extended family together. But I think family dinner in the evening time or a family meal is a really important way for families to spend time together where they can talk much more casually about what's going on. And whereas parents, you can see how your children are doing. Like you'll notice changes in their mood or in their how they're participating. You'll have a better sense of what's happening for them in their lives than you will just get by asking them.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've never found asking them works with anything. I do find sitting down for a meal does that. I sometimes find going on a long car journey does it too. If I have to drive in from my house to Dundrum or something because we have to get something, which would be the only reason I'd be going, I find those little chats when we're not even making eye contact, things start to emerge and I find them quite good too. So there is a value to the communing thing, because I agree with you about the asking the questions. And is there a value to routine in general, that the kids have an expectation that Sunday dinner happens, or indeed that evening dinner happens at 6 or 7 or whatever time it happens? Those, you know, that bedtime happens at a certain time. Is there a value to routine?
I'm a firm believer that children love routines and love things being largely the same again and again, and that they generally feel happier within a structure and a routine. And it's often that the adults are the ones who are sort of rebelling against the routine because they haven't figured out a way of doing it. And I know that that was possibly the hardest thing for me as a parent, was getting a routine going. But I just think it's incredibly helpful. Children like to know that certain things are expected, and then they can deal with the other unexpected things a bit more when they're not worried about whether you're going to be late to pick them up or what time they're going to get their dinner. And I think the other thing is developmentally, it's really good to get different age groups together across the table, sitting, having conversations, having expectations that different ages can contribute, that you can work at providing conversation at different levels. All of those things are really important in child development.
Is there something in the fact that if some things are constant, if at least some things are constant, then if everything else goes to hell in a handcart, that's okay, that we can roll, we can't roll with the punches on everything. But if school is a constant, and if certain activities are a constant, and if certain family routines and rituals are a constant, well, then we can kind of roll with the fact that certain other things are messier or less predictable. It gives a degree of stability that allows other things to be a bit looser.
I absolutely believe that. That's kind of my approach to child rearing. And I think from a psychotherapy perspective, you know, we certainly, you know, we hold a real structure around the time of appointments and the length of appointments, because we know that that structure and containment helps support people in terms of dealing with difficult emotional things. And it's, again, like, you know, it doesn't have to, like, there's no expectation that family dinner always be a joyful thing, or that you've produced, you know,
no, there can be war at, there can be war at them.
And you resolve the war overall. That's what makes it successful, is that you see relationships acting in real life and there being conflict and you finding a way of dealing with it and still, you know, passing the water jug or the salt or whatever.
I do think there's something about being around a table. I think we've been doing that for possibly millennia. It's better getting around a fire. I think that's another kind of a thing that people do. The breaking of bread with people, there is something in it, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think it's a really important part of our development as animals. you know. We're social pack animals. We've developed these rituals around sitting down together, breaking bread together. There's a lot of meaning in having meals provided to you in terms of warmth, love and care. These things all are symbolic of how you're looked after. It doesn't, you know, it can be scrambled eggs on toast or baked beans or chicken nuggets, but like it's still, you know.
This is a really interesting text for you. It's from Karen in Dublin. Thank you, Karen. When should you start routine around dinner? My kids are 3 and 5. They have dinner together and I tend to sit with them. And then my husband and I wait for them to go to bed and we have our dinner as we need time to ourselves. Now I'm starting to feel guilty, says Karen. That's like the old school sort of British aristocracy, the Victorians, isn't it? Like children will have their meal with maybe in those days with nanny or something, but now with mummy. And then mummy and daddy will have their own adult meal. Is that good or bad?
Well, I'm certainly not going to say it's either good or bad for your poor listener, but you know, we also have to deal with the fact that we have these odd working hours and people are coming home late, and it's good to sit down with the children and start to encourage family time together. And so some of that could be breakfast time, some of it could be brunch at the weekends, whatever. But if one person doesn't get into work till 7:30, then that's too late for a 3 and a 5-year-old to be waiting for their dinner. But that doesn't mean you can't put some ritual in place around some family time prior to bed. And as soon as you can, organise to have at least regular adults and children together, doing things together as a family, as opposed to it's just about the children. I think that's better, because it's also about helping children understand that they're members in a hierarchy or something as well. You know, that you know, it's not just you have your simple little meal and then mummy and daddy have their special meal later, but also that they're allowed to do that too.
Yeah. To be fair to Karen as well, it's more important as they get older, I think, the kids, isn't it? That you do that and you have that kind of shared experience and you get to hear so much. I mean, the one thing that always amazed us is whenever the kids had friends over, if they sat at the table and ate and we cooked for them, they would forget we were there and we would hear so much stuff.
Yeah.
And they talk so openly. It's amazing. It's whatever it is about food.
We're so irrelevant that they actually, once their friends are there, we actually, as if we aren't there, I think.
But it's great because then you get to see the way they interact with their friends and, you know, more so than you do from just having them around the house. But yeah, of course, 3-year-olds sitting down to like full dinner is a bit young. But like as you're getting to 4 and 6 or 5 and 7, then I think you really are in the range of having
sitting down together. Yeah, in fairness to Karen, 3 and 5-year-olds are hard work.
I'm
not trying to diss them. If you're listening, 3 and 5-year-olds,
they'll be very offended. You're great
in many ways, but Jesus, they're hard work. They say the same things over and over again. They ask the same questions, and you know, why is the sky blue? And you want to stab the fork in your own eye. Do you know what
but
I mean?
That's also why that's hard to do by yourself. And I totally get
shared
it.
Like, a burden.
It has to be a shared burden, that stuff, really. And that's why, you know, when you can have both parents together, that can be helpful for that stuff.
Tag teaming.
Yeah.
So you think there's a security there for kids? If they know, you know, obviously it's not literally going to be every day, but that most days they will sit down and with their parents or whatever, and siblings, and share food together. There is a security in that.
There definitely is a security. And there is some research to say that mental health is better, you know, for kids who grow up with regular family meals. Now, which part of the regular family meal is contributing to the better mental health? That's very difficult to say specifically. But there's something about your capacity to relate and to organise a structure for your children in being able to sit down and have fun family meals or, you know, like it's just an important thing. And like I said, it doesn't have to be every evening, because you can have, you know, one child that needs to be at soccer practice at 6 o'clock, at, you know, so, but you need to put it in place in somewhere, you know, that you do this.
Can I ask, what about correcting them on their table manners while eating?
Well,
because I do that and it drives my kids.
He does it to me as well. It's not just his kids.
And my dad did it to me and it drove me off my head.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, I mean, that's not going to cause any mental health issues.
I hope you're listening,
kids.
You
know what I mean? I think a certain basic level of manners is a useful skill to have.
Esalt White has given me the go-ahead, lads.
And then I guess it depends on how frequently and what tone you use and all of those kind of things.
Very pleasant. Always.
He's looking very sceptical here now with a very pleasant always.
usually pleasant.
I've seen you eat, Shane. You're intimidating. You're very intimidating. but nonetheless, what we're basically saying is structure is good, routine is good, and kind of communing is good, isn't it?
Communing is good. I think, I mean, structure and routine are important, but actually I think communing, that's the most important thing. And for children, it's the communing at the different ages with the adults involved. Like, they need to commune by themselves without adults involved, but they need to commune at different ages with adults involved.
Do you know
what
I really missed as the youngest when my older siblings kind of left home? I did really miss that dinner time kind of conversation and gossip and, you know, excoriating people and all that. I kind of really missed that. It was the thing I missed most when my older siblings left.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people often underestimate how much siblings learn from each other.
Yeah.
You know, but then sometimes you need for modelling how to handle discussion and conflict and things like that, you need adults present as well.
Maybe lastly, is there something in the other way, because I keep thinking obsessing with Karen's text, but this kind of mommy is there with the 3 and the 5-year-old, and I suspect it's all about the 3 and the 5-year-old. Is there times when the 3 and 5-year-olds need to be there and mommy and daddy are just still chatting and doing their own thing, and the 3 and the 5-year-old need to learn about turn taking, that it isn't every minute is about them?
That's tough.
Sometimes they need to learn to hear, you know, adult conversations about politics and things.
When they're 3 and 5.
Let me finish.
Starmer versus Andy Burnham, that
they realise that just that sort of drip feel that it isn't, the world doesn't only revolve around them.
Absolutely. By 3, children need to be learning that the world doesn't entirely revolve around them and turn taking, and that it's also okay for adults to have conversations where they're not included in every part of it. And I think that can be one of the hard things when you're either parenting alone or you're frequently the one at home with the children without a partner there, is that the attention is very focused on the children and there isn't that sense of well, actually, adults can take precedence sometimes.
Anyway, we will leave it on that note. You are a rock of sense as ever. Isolde White there, psychotherapist and author. And thank you for joining us in the Kids Clinic this week.
It's a pleasure.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.